Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Toda Rabba Yahweh. Father, we thank you always, Father, for blessing us with life, health, and strength, Father. We thank you for the blessing of your Shabbat. We thank you for the blessing of your Torah, Father. We thank you for the blessing of your Son, who shed his precious blood for us, Father, and redeemed us from this world, Father. We ask, Father, that you uplift our hearts and our minds, Father, that you bless us with your spirit of peace on this Shabbat day, Father, that you bless us with your spirit of love and unity on this Shabbat day, Yahweh. Thank you for the many trials, Father, that you have given us throughout the week, Father. And thank you, Father, for strengthening us, chastening us, Father, and letting us know, Father, that you love us, Father. Father, we ask now that all of Israel, Father, be healed, Father, that all of Israel, Father, be uplifted, Father, that all of Israel, Father, that are called out, Father, keep their eyes set towards you and your Son and your Torah, Father. We ask, Father, that your spirit be in this room, Father, that your presence be amongst us, Father Yah, and that, Father, whatever words, Father, that you have, they be spoken, Father, with purity of heart, sincerity of mind, Father, and earnest of heart, Father. These things we ask in the name of your Son, Yahushua, Father. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah family. First, I want to start off by saying hallelujah. And thank you to all my brothers, my sisters, my elders, my friends, for lifting my daughter up in prayer. Prayer works. And prayer prayer is the only resource that we really have. Sending our supplications up to Yahweh and holding on to faith that through trials and tribulations that one, his perfect will always be done. He is faithful to us, provided that we walk in his ways and love him the way he loves and looks out for us. So thank you, family. I want to say thank you to everybody because I know those prayers went up to Yahweh because the whole situation that's been going on with my daughter has turned in a whole 180-degree direction from where it was just a few hours ago.
Right.
You know, she's doing very good now. They just gave her a unit of blood. They're going to see how everything is going with her blood pressure and with the baby's heart rate. And to be Yahweh's will, things would be back right. Okay, so thank you, family. Just want to say that. Thank you very much. So we're still talking about creation, and the last couple of weeks, I hope everybody has been feeling edified the way I've been feeling edified by learning some of the things that we've been learning and talking about the things that we've been talking about. I think last week's lesson was excellent, and you know, the one of the points that Brother Yaka'el brought out to light about the sun, the moon, and the stars, you know, and it's funny how, you know, we study, and you know, and I hate when I hear people say that, you know, they read the entire Bible back to front from Genesis 1 to, you know, Revelations and 20-something chapter, and, you know, they feel like they've done a great work and they've learned everything and they've gleaned all the information that they can from Yahweh. And to think really that you need to search beyond what his word says. You know, one of the things that scripture that I really love, he said, which is revealed belongs to you and your sons. That means he revealed this to us as a gift. He revealed it and he imparted it to us so that it's ours. You know, and we should feel honored and privileged that it was given to us by him, because guess what? Whatever's in that word, whatever's in the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and then, you know, for us that believe in the New Testament, the Brit HaKadoshah, that is all revelation to us. That is all a divine gift for us. And to be quite frank, that's all that we need, other than his son and that spirit of revelation that he reveals to us through his word and by his spirit, about his word, so that way we can gain some more insight. And the thing that I love, especially about last week, is wasn't no deep stuff. We didn't even have to go into Hebrew. Just a simple English. Reading that was something that we came to light. It was like, hold up. That sun, that moon, and those stars that are set in the heavens were specifically for us here on the planet Earth. Not for Martians, which I don't believe exist. Not for Mercury, not for Pluto, not for Uranus, not for Jupiter, not for Saturn. It wasn't made for any of those. You see, and one of the things that I'm coming to realize, especially about science, is everything that they come up with is a guess. And everything that they expound upon, 9 out of 10 times, is a fable. Because when you think about it, what do they know about the sun? What do they know about the moon? What do they really know about the stars? What really do they know about the earth, where we live? So before you start to reach way out into the far, deep places of outer space, why not learn every single thing there is to learn about this beautiful planet that Abba made specifically for us to dwell upon? He created it for us. Why are we searching for anything else that's out there? Why? Think about it. Billions of dollars are being spent to put stuff out there to discover stuff that we will never know unless it is Abba's will to reveal it to us. You know? And to be quite frank, we'll never even, one of the things, there's a scripture that talks about the depths of the ocean. These even parts of this planet right now, we will never understand. We can go to the highest point, which I believe they say is Mount Everest, which is like 5 miles in the sky. But guess what? We'll never, and I think that is for a specific reason. We will never get too deep. We will never, it's like our old Gershon Ben Daniel used to tell us, we ain't even scratching the surface, you know, because when you think about it, there's a whole, if we can go 5 miles up, I can just imagine how many miles goes down into the depths of the ocean, places where some creatures can't even inhabit. Some of the mightiest creatures on the planet, the biggest creatures, whales and stuff, can't go that far down, you know. So, and then, you know, what the things that he has been showing us about, you know, the other things about creation so far, you know, before he made the sun, there was already light that he created in order to bring about a certain understanding, you know, about the planet. And just the way that he's gone through creation, and when we look at just how things work in the earth. It's still working that way till today. You know, he got a plot of land together. He found a place that he felt he could he was going to do something with. He had a plan to do something with, rather. And we see that plan being performed. He's giving us everything we need to know about how the earth works beyond all of the science books and all of these things that they have out there. Just trusting in the simple things that he gave us is enough, you know. But of course, you know, he's given us a certain level of intelligence that we have to, you know, exert our authority as human beings to say, oh yeah, well, you know, yeah, he said that, but we need to know, we need to understand. It was a song by India Arie. How could you not believe that God is real? And he started off with, a scientist asking, I guess, like a person who believes in the Bible, a question. And one of the things is, you know, needing to know the why of the why of the why of the why. Why? Why do you need to know all of this stuff? And something that one of my favorite subjects in school was biology. And something that we learned about biology that Abba showed me right here, that they may actually be off just a little bit about this thing, and hopefully we'll get to it today. I'll try not to do too much rambling about stuff. But let's go back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to start. We're going to start back up at verse 6. We're just going to go back through the firmament part again, okay? We're going to go back to the second day, okay? So 1:6 says, and Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And that's one of the things that Abba wanted me to focus on today was that word divide. Because you see, one of the things that he is doing is making a distinct separation of how this thing works. And remember, one of the things that we talked about last week is he is creating the atmosphere, or making the atmosphere in a way so that it cooperates with this landmass that he has brought up. And one of the things that science is right on, whether it's oxygen or whatever it's called, but there is a force that we breathe in and out that we need to survive. You know, if you want something to die, its ability to inhale and exhale. You know, now we know that it is Yahweh ultimately who sustains life, and that's one of the things that we're going to see even with the next day of creation, the third day. But the process by which it works, he gave us lungs, he gave us a nose, he gave us a mouth, so that way we could inhale the force of life and exhale the force of life. And that's what we see, that man has broken it down and calling it oxygen and all this type of stuff, specifically O2. But he imbued within the planet, within the atmosphere, his essence that gives us the ability to live. You know, simple as that. He gave, and specifically, he set it within a certain parameter. And one of the things that comes to mind, Abba helped me to realize, the rainbow, right? So when you think about the rainbow, right, it's made up of Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, blue, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet, right? Okay, it's got those five colors, right? But when you think about the rainbow and the arc of the rainbow, right, it's all like one big, it's a bow. It's one big piece of a bow, right? But we see right there, even within the bow, there's a point where red exists. There's a point where orange exists. There's a point where yellow exists. There's a point where green exists. There's a point where blue exists. And there's a point where violet exists. And it never changes. That order is set forever within the heavens. So now when you think about, in the Hebrew term for firmament is rakia, right? And it alludes to a beaten thing. Or like, when you think about something that's beat, when you think about I don't think anybody in here is a machinist, or if you know anything about metal crafting, you know, for instance, you take the coin, the quarter. One of the things, when you look at the quarter, you see it's made up of one element, but then there's a thin sheet of another element that's around it. You know, you think about that, it's kind of like what all of these things are. There's a distinct level at which the red exists, the orange exists, the yellow exists, the green exists, the blue, and the violet exists. Same thing. I think he put that in there to kind of give us an idea of how the heavens are laid up, because there's a part where flesh can live, right? Flesh of man, flesh of beast. You know, and one of the things that Paul brings out is there's the flesh of terrestrial. He says there's the flesh of fish, and there's the celestial, right? So you have a place where the flesh can exist, and you have a place where birds can kind of exist, and you have a place where the sea creatures can exist, and they're all very distinct. You know, how a fish lives in water, he can't live out on land. You know, when you take a fish out of water, that fish is going to flop around. Why? Because he's trying to find that life force that gives him, that only exists within water, right? And then you think birds, I don't know how the highest birds can fly, but even for the birds, there's a certain point where birds cannot, even the highest flying bird, which I think is a type of hawk or a type of eagle, can only go but so far in its existence up there. And then you go beyond that, and you go beyond that, and you go beyond that, where nothing that has the breath of life in it that God gave it can exist. Why? It's not made to exist up, you know, up in that realm. But there are distinct layers to it where there's oxygen here, a certain level of oxygen here that human beings and flesh can use. There's a certain level of oxygen where even some of the highest birds can fly. But then after you go past a certain point, certain things don't exist. And even when you look at the clouds, rain clouds can only exist within the realm in which it can provide life for human beings. But there are other types of clouds that live that can exist beyond that. You know? So I wanted to look at the word for let me go back to it real quick. In Genesis 1:6 for divide. And when you look at that word, it's two words I want to look at. I'm sorry. You know, the word where it says a firmament in the midst of the waters. If you look at that, that's Hebrew 8:4, 84:32, and it says it's from an unused root, meaning to sever a bisection, that is by implication the center, among, between, there, here, middle, mid, midnight, midst, right? But the point is, now when you think about the earth being like a circle, now you got the flat earthers out there. I'm not addressing the flat earthers. Y'all believe in the flat earth? It's on you. But when you think about, even when it used that term in the midst, so if you look at the earth being the globe that it is, just look at it for being a circle, right? Okay, so just bear with me right here. So let's just say this is one layer, right, where the earth is. Then there's another layer where the water is. Then there's another layer where the clouds exist, right, where the rain clouds exist, I should say. Then there's another layer where scientists have come to understand that there is other levels of the heavens, you know, where you come to just the cusp of where quote-unquote outer space exists, you know. Now, they've called this the mesosphere, the stratosphere, blah, 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 or whatever. But Yahweh already said, you know, these are firmaments. These are places that have layers of protection that I've given you from what's all out here in outer space. Right? And we see that, but what's at the center is, and this is at the very center, the layer where humanity exists. Why? Because at the end of the day, the focal point is oceans. It's not the animals. It's not the plants. It's not the trees. Everything is about this planet, everything revolving around this planet is about what human beings do and their relationship to the Creator. So there's a definite layer that exists around it. Sorry for the people who's listening and can't see it, but there's a definite layer around it where mankind dwells. And that it, and it's like a fence. It's a barrier that exists around it to keep these other elements out, right? And remember, one of the things that we talked about last week was, you know, we talked about the flood for a little bit. One of the things that, you know, we see is they're talking about, you know, global warming. Global warming is the hot topic, and global warming is, you know, the hot button issue besides all the other political mumbo jumbo that's going on. But when we looked at what caused Yahweh to bring about the flood, it was violence, and it was the corruption of mankind. You know, and these things have an effect. So, you know, they talk about, yeah, well, you know, there's greenhouse gases and all this type of stuff. Well, pollution is a result of sin. Because when you think about it, if we are made of the earth is made of us. If we start to destroy it, and one of the things that Yahweh said, I'm not going to harm the earth, and I'm not going to allow mankind to harm the earth. And when the scriptures talk about, you know, that the earth is crying and sighing for the adoption of mankind, is because the more man gets corrupt, the more these things now start to dissolve, this protective barrier that he's put around there to keep these things out. Guess what? Now harmful things start to be allowed in. Is everybody with me so far? Okay. So, let's go to 7. Excuse me. Let me take a sip of water. I go to 1:7. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, right? There's one firmament where the waters exist. These waters don't go past a certain point. But we know that there's water exists beyond a certain point because the rain comes down with the water, right? So he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so, and Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. 1:9. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, right? And it was so. It was obedient. And Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and Elohim saw that it was good. So now, the next part. Now, remember what we talked about last week, you know, how when you plant a garden, what do? You know, you plant out a plot of land, and Yahweh is basically doing the same thing. He's getting a plot of land together so that he can do stuff with it, right? So, Genesis 1:11. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree, yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. It was obedient. And the earth brought forth grass, herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, right? And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, Abba wanted me to talk about something. We see that he receded some waters, brought the dry land, put his life essence in it, which we call oxygen, right, so that things could live, right? Because one of the things when you take a plot of land, you got to oxygenate that soil. It might be right. You still got to go in. You got to dig it up and oxygenate it. Then you put some seeds in it, right? Then what is supposed to be the next step within all of that? Right? Okay, they say you got to put a little water on it. Okay, you get a little water. But then they say, what is the next step to it? Well, via fertilizing, that's a part of the step, yes. Okay, so now let's say when you're planting your garden, what was one of the things that they told you when you're plotting out the land for the garden that you should be mindful of?
Sunlight,
right? Now, weeds are part of this vegetation in here also. Right? But sunlight, right? But is the sun there yet? The sun isn't there yet, right? So that's supposed to be the next step in the process. But Yahweh said, hold on. Now let's go back and look at it. Let the earth bring forth, and when you look at it, it's talking about greenage, foliage, right? It says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so, right? Now, here's the science lesson. How have we been taught that plants live? Photosynthesis, right? And what is photosynthesis? The brother of knowledge? Photosynthesis. Right? They convert. Hold up. It converts sunlight. Right? It converts sunlight. Photo meaning light. Synthesis meaning a conversion or use of such light. Right? To do what? To grow, to make it live, right? But hold up. Plants and stuff is already living before the sun. Because remember, we're in the third day. When does the sun come up? Not till the next couple of verses, right? So, one of the things that Abba helped me to realize with this, right? And it goes to something that Paul said in the book of Romans. And turn with it with me, family, okay? Because, okay, Romans 1:25, a very important verse. See, this is where I say science gets it wrong sometimes. They may have a part of it right, but they need there's a big part of it that's wrong. So, all right, let's read through a little bit of it because, you know, Paul is talking about the state that man is in. He starts off and he hits everything hard, right? It says, Paul, a servant of Yahushua HaMashiach, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Yah, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Spirit, concerning his son Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of Elohim with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called to Yahushua HaMashiach. To all that be in Rome, beloved of Yah, called to be servants, grace to you and peace from our Father Yah and Yahushua HaMashiach. First, I thank my Elohim through Yahushua HaMashiach for all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For Yah is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yah to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you, brethren, be ignorant that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Mashiach, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believes it, Yahudim first and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of Yah revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of Yah is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of Yah is manifest in them, for Yah hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that ye are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, knew Yah, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Stop there for a second, right? No, one more scripture. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, so when we think of pagan worship, what does the pagan worship surround? The luminaries, but which one in particular? The sun. But why the sun? Because they associate the sun with life. Why? because when the sun is strong, like we're going in, we're in the waning parts of that strong season, but for the last 2.5 months, the sun was strong and the greenery pops up and all this type of stuff, right? So they associate this with the sun and the power of the sun and the worship of the sun, right? But Yahweh said, hold up. Before I made the sun, all of this stuff existed. I created this stuff just like how we learned that man was created last. Why? So that man couldn't take credit for anything. He created these things in the order in which they created, so they would, the trees know that he is the source of life. But, and we're going to see this a little bit, because we're going to go back to Genesis, because this is important now, right? Because, see, this is why Yahweh is so upset about this worship that is untowards him. And Paul understood this. Because why? He's in the midst of Rome. The glory of Rome was its religious authority that it placed upon the earth. And its iconography that had, you know, these gods, the god that was over, the king of the gods, Zeus, and he was responsible for the thunderbolts. And this god, Helios, was responsible for the track of the sun and all this type of stuff. And they had the temple. I think Helios is one of the gods that is mentioned in the New Testament. And he was the sun, the one that was responsible for the track of the sun. But that sun was viewed as the ultimate source of life, that without the sun, no life can exist. But hold up. On the third day, life had already existed solely from the word of Yahweh. So even when we go back now to what even John saw, he said, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was God, the word was God, and everything was created by this word. Yahweh said, earth, I need you to bring forth this vegetation. And the earth said, in this vegetation, seeds and all this other stuff, so it could perpetuate itself. And the earth said, and the herbs and the grass said, okay. It wasn't the sun that told them to do it. The sun is not responsible for it, but we're going to see why Yahweh placed the sun, this luminary, in it. It's right there in the word. But we gloss over it because we look at this and you know, we just look at it. And see, this is the importance of relying on Yahweh's revelation, relying on his word, because, see, all of this relied on the word of Yahweh to do what it was supposed to do, not our own thinking. Not by any outside source. You can look at this all day long, but until Abba says, you know what, turn on a light switch for you, and that's why the light was created first, his light. And why is that even associated with light? That synaptic energy, when it goes off and something goes bing in our mind, modern man associates it with the light bulb. Why? Because it's not like there's a literal light bulb shining above our head, but there is something that comes from a source that illuminates our mind, that gives us our mind this synaptic energy in order for us to now be open to seeing the things that are not plainly seen. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, Yah also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Yah into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You tell somebody, you see the rise of it again, you see the rise of these ancient religions, which Egyptology is all about sun worship, all about sun worship and the deities that surround that worship of this. But the sun was never made to be worshipped. The sun was never even made to be seen as anything special other than the fact that our creator created such a magnificent thing. That's all when we see the sun, that's what we're supposed to associate it with. Yes, it points to, when we see Jacob's dream, it points to something more. But at the end of the day, Abba don't want us to say, that's Yahweh, because that is not Yahweh. That is a product of the power and the might of Yahweh. Something we, and yes, it points to Yahweh, because it's something we will never, I don't care how many scientific volumes there are out there, and there are millions of scientific volumes trying to explain, you know, what the sun is made of, nitrogen, helium. Oh, what was that? Interplanet Janet, she's a galaxy girl, and, you know, she went to the sun, this big glowing mass or stuff. You don't know what that is. Interplanet Janet ain't going nowhere near that. She's not. The sun is untouchable. That moon is untouchable. I don't care how many videos they put of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin tiptoeing across the moon surface. They ain't never touch it. Never. Because one thing I know about human beings and the mindset that's in these scientists and these imperialists is if you can touch it, you're going to take it.
Right.
And if they ain't colonized it yet, they ain't touch it. Nation on that bad boy yet that they haven't direct, they ain't touch it. They still trying to figure out. That's why they in outer space and the space shuttles floating around for 6 or 7 months, years at a time, because they trying to figure out, wait a minute now, modern technology has gone past the point where we can't just trick people with a simple old video anymore and fake footprints and a flag that just standing up straight. They can't trick mankind like that anymore. So they got to find other ways of doing it. But guess what? Every time they try to devise it, guess what Yahweh does? Not this time. They spent billions of dollars to put that thing, and they was trying to catch up with that asteroid that comes around every now and then. They said, we're going to find out more scientific discoveries than we've ever found out in all of mankind. And it was supposed to depend on solar energy, but that sucker found a toilet bowl on that asteroid and fell right in it where no sunlight exists. So guess what? All that energy and all that effort they put into it was for nothing. Because Yahweh said, guess what? You'll never find out about the sun. Because you ain't supposed to find out about the sun. You're not. You know nothing about the sun. You're only guessing. But the sad part about psychosis is if you're not careful with psychosis, you'll get sucked right in. Just like you see humanity getting sucked into so many different things.
Right.
So many different things that people just sit back and say, you know what? Let live and let live, you know? Okay, I agree with you. Live and let live. Let the people do what they want to, because they're going to do what they want to do. But now there's a difference between live and let live and a difference between I need to buy into your brand of crazy. There's a big difference between that. Sure, I can let you live the lifestyle that you want, but please don't try to convince me that what you're doing is not insanity. But we are slowly allowing the insane to inherit the earth. Before they even inherit the earth, they have to inherit our psychology. They have to inherit our minds. And that's what people are doing. You know, one of the things that, liberation, freedom. I'm free to do what I want. I'm free to choose what I want. I'm free to be whatever. And they are. That's how, you see, that's the thing about it. And Yahweh already said it in his word. He said, choose you this day which one you want. He said, I'm going to lay it before you. And Yahweh is merciful. Yahweh don't, that's full disclosure with Yahweh in everything, even in sin. Full disclosure. I'm going to let it happen for you, right? You're going to have a right. You're going to have a right. It was your right. You're going to have a right. You're going to have a right. You're going to have a left. You're going to have fire. You're going to have water. You're going to have life and death. All these things are going to be presented to you, and you've got to choose
right. Left,
right, left, life, water, fire. Eventually, whichever one you want the most, you're going to take. And guess what Yahweh says? You wanted it, so I'm going to give it to you. Because I'm a good and loving father. I'm better than your dad. Because I'm the no dad. And I'm quick to say no, but Yahweh not going to say no. What Yahweh is going to do, though, he's going to educate you and tell you, look, if this rises up in the camp, this is what you do with it. If this situation occurs, this is what you do with it. And let's say something transpires that I may not have spelled out my word. Guess what? Just to show you that my spirit exists among you, I'm going to give it to some men, and they're going to say, hey, guess what, y'all? This situation, like, for instance, we talked about this, I think, on Wednesday night class. James, some situations were brought to James. James said, look, this is my judgment. This is how I feel about the whole matter. I prayed about it. I talked to Yahweh about it. And this is what he revealed to me. Keep them from these three things. Fornication, from idols, fornication, and things that are strangled. Simple as that. Now, the rest we'll expound on next Shabbat. And the Shabbat after that, and the Shabbat after that, right, perpetually until Mashiach comes back, there will always be somebody keeping and expounding his word on Shabbat.
Yeah.
Right? So now 125, okay? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, Yahweh gave them up to vile affection, right? For even their women did change the natural use, and which is against nature. But don't want to really dive off into that, right? So now let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 1, I believe 17, all right? I went way too far. 111. Let's go back to 111. And God said, let there be earth. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Period. He created, he said, let it be, and it was so. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And now let's get into this. Genesis 1:14. Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. That's the first thing it's supposed to do. It's supposed to set two time frames in motion. There's a period where the sun is in full bloom, and there's going to be a period where the sun is not seen, right? And people may say, well, what about the parts of the earth where the sun shines all the time, or like shines for 6 months and then don't shine for 6 months or whatever? Well, what do you do about that? But guess what? Okay? You still see the same cycle exist. It's just on a different time frame because of how the earth is associated. It's still, there's still a period where the sun shines, and there's still a period where the sun don't shine. It still exists. You know, you're unfortunate to live in such an area. Don't live there. If you want a regular, I remember the movie Insomnia with Al Pacino. You laugh, right? Because he was jacked up. I think he was from another part of the country and had to go up to Alaska to do an investigation. You know, he's waking up in the middle of the night, and it's, 2 o'clock in the morning. He looks outside. It's bright as this, and he's like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And it threw him off. It literally had him going crazy. You know, so even though some people and he's made us adaptable to that point. Okay, so if you choose to live there, I will allow you to adapt to that. That's the type of creature that I made you to be, you know, but it wasn't necessarily his ideal for you to live in that area. Okay, but, you know, but it exists. But it still goes through the same cycle. That's the point I'm trying to make. Let there be lights in the firmament, back to 114. Let there be, and Yah said, let there be lights in the firmament, day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days. So now, the only thing that the sun is responsible for when you look at the vegetation that's on the earth is to say, hey, we're coming into that time now. Okay, I'm coming closer to y'all. I'm reminding you the cycle that Yahweh put you on. That's all it does. When it says it is for signs, right? And we know what that term means in Hebrew. We can look it up in a second. For seasons and for days and for years. So basically, he's letting you know, I'm putting a clock in there. I'm giving you a clock. I'm giving you a means of measurement now. Right? That's the first time he's giving us a means of measurement, how to measure. He's giving it to the earth first, because man doesn't exist yet. Well, mankind even exists. He's letting you know there's a cycle, there's an order. I'm setting a particular order in motion. Right? So, he says it's for signs, and let's look these terms up, unless anybody remembers right off. What is signs? Say it again, sir. Oat, right? Oat. A signal, as a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, prodigy, evidence. Right? Mark, miracle, sign. token. See, to be a miracle. But every time you plant the seed in the ground and something sprouts up, that's a little miracle right there. It's a little miracle that points to the fact that the word of Yahweh still exists within the earth and that his word is true and that his word is faithful, right? And the next thing it is for seasons. What are seasons? Moed. Properly an appointment, that is a fixed time or season, specifically a festival, conventionally a year, by implication an assembly as convened for a definite purpose, technically the congregation, by extension the place of meeting, also a signal as appointed beforehand, appointed sign, time, place of solemn assembly, congregation, set, solemn feast, appointed due season, solemn solemnity, synagogue, set time. So guess what? Even before man existed, he had time frames set in place for certain things to be done based on a particular order. Right? And for days, what is that? Yom. From an unused root, meaning to be hot, a day as the warm hours, whether literally from sunrise to sunset or from one sunset to the next, or figuratively a space of time, defined by an associated term, an age, always, chronicles, continually, and all this. But at the end of the day, he set that now, even before mankind came into existence, as a time when you will do some things and as a time when you will not be able to do some things. Right? Term is for years, right? And that is Shana. The first form being a plural, only the second form being, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not even telling the Hebrew letters, the Hebrew numbers, y'all. Hebrews 8141. See, I get to rambling and stuff. Forgive me. Right? The second form being feminine from 8138, a year, as a revolution of time. So he set four specific things in place once he made the sun, right, the moon, and the stars for before humanity even existed, before animals even existed. Mm-hmm. Because we haven't even got to the point where he created the animals yet. And I'm sorry if this doesn't go into deep things or quote-unquote deep things, but for me, y'all, this is deep enough. Because the thing about it is, being in the faith for 20-some-odd years, blah, 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 yada, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. Guess what? It's not until just a couple of days ago that Abba helped me see certain things about how this exists or what this thing has been saying all along. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
The sun was made for what he said it was made for. Ain't nothing else.
Nothing else.
It was made to photosynthesize plants.
Oh.
It was made for any other purpose but these four things.
Hmm?
You can't go any further than that.
You can't. Yahweh didn't say, I gave this so that the plants could come up. I made the suns for plant food. No, why? Because the nourishment comes from there. The power comes from there. From that stuff we call dirt and the word of Yahweh, because he never wanted mankind to focus on those luminaries out there except for what he specifically said it was. Sorry, scientists. Sorry, scientists. I'm glad you know about the cell wall, cellulose, the mitochondria, and all this stuff that exists within this. I'm sorry. Thank you for discovering all those things. But at the end of the day, it's all for naught, because the simple thing is the word of Yahweh said it exists, and it exists, period. So you can, because why is it you have, sure, you have different plants that require a certain amount of heat from the sun. You have some plants that don't, like ferns. Ferns are the type of plants that will dwell in the midst of a forest where there is hardly any sunlight. Then you have pine trees that I don't remember the term for them, but, you know, where they don't go through the cycle that an oak tree goes through, where it goes through the, you know, having full leaves, shedding its leaves, to budding, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, still wants us to know that they don't exist because of the sun, the moon, or the stars. They exist and live and perpetuate and bring forth seed and all that type of stuff, not based on the cycle of the sun, not based on the cycle of the moon, not based on whether or not, you know, the three stars is positioned over it or it's positioned to the east. No, none of that. None of that. None of that. But one of the things that he did let us see into his word, that when his son was born, there was a star that led to that led people to understand that he existed. See what I'm saying? So See, because man gets so caught up in their imagination. See, for them, oh, that ain't really why that happened. Oh, no. We have no evidence of that happening. The word of Yahweh and those who he appointed to record the events that took place when his son was born, they recorded those things because to them, this was the epitome. This was the fulfillment of why these things were made. See? We're going to 115. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And Yah made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And Yah set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. But not the same type of light that his word is light, and if you understand what I'm saying. And Yah made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Yah said, set them in the firmament of the heaven to give a light upon the earth and to rule over the day. And one of the terms was heat, right? Remember one of the terms when we looked up, I believe it was signs, right? Hold on. Was it Yom or was it signs? Yeah, it was Yom, right? Yeah, for days, right? Yep. As the warm hours. So guess what we're learning about the sun, what it's supposed to do with this light? It's supposed to let us know when the warm hours are, when that heat is trapped within the firmament, right? So that it gives us, and even in the coldest winter, guess what? Even in the coldest parts of winter, that sun still gives off a certain amount of warmth, does it not? Yes. If you stand up, it's a bright sunny day, even in the wintertime, sure, the air temperature might be cold, but that sun, still a certain level of warmth that sun gives, right? I mean, I'm not the only one that experienced that. Please tell me I'm not the only one, because I don't want to feel like I'm crazy, right? Okay. So his word is true, right? So during the day, even in the dead of winter, you still feel a certain level of warmth when you stand in that sun. Let's say, for instance, like, you know, where I work, certain times of the day, there's a sunny side of the street and there's definitely a dark side of the street, right? And the funny thing is, okay, in the summertime, I'm going to walk on the shady side of the street. In the wintertime when I go home, I'm walking on that sunny side of the street. Why? Because there's a very distinct difference in how that sun feels even in the wintertime, as opposed to when it's being blocked by a building. So then that would prove that his word is true. Right. When Yom being the warm part, the time frame or the time cycle, right? Genesis 1:15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And 16, and Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also, 1:17. And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over today and over the night and to divide light from darkness. And Yah saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Right? So now, what's that? So now we see where he created a dividing of things should be, right? Because when you think about day and night are on a shorter cycle than, let's say, the planting season and the harvesting season. You know, we keep the feast days. You know, there's a time in the season to keep the Pesach. There's a time in the season to keep Shavuot. There's a time in the season to keep Sukkot. There's a time in the season to keep Yom Kippur and Yom Teruah. And they are in two very distinct cycles of the earth's existence, or how the earth reacts. And the thing about it is, yes, sir.
There may be something shown that now everything you said is true,
right,
as far as the word of Yahweh and the vegetation and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'll say. But there's a passage I was just looking at in Deuteronomy.
Yes. Is it the one where it talks about the sun?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And for the plants?
Yeah,
yes. Because I always look for the the fly in the ointment, right? And I believe you're talking about Deuteronomy 33:14, right? Yes. So it says, and 33:14 says, now for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, but hold on, wait a minute, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. Okay. So let's go back and let's read, because we like to read the whole chapter, right? Okay. Let's go to 33 and start at verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Elohim, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose up from Seir. Unto them he shined forth, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand, and a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people, all the saints, and in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun. Now, what are the things that we're noticing here so far? There's a certain poeticness. And when you see Jeshurun, there's a certain poeticness to this language, right? Okay. When the heads of the people and the tribes were gathered together, let Reuben live and not die, and let his men be few, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Yehuda. And he said, hear, Yahweh, the voice of Yehuda, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. 33:10. And they shall teach Jacob thy judgment, and Israel thy law, and they shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless Yahweh his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Yahweh shall dwell in the safety by him. Now, what are we seeing here? We're seeing this is there's a poetic theme to this verse. And beloved of Yahweh shall dwell in that safety. Back to 33:12, Satanship. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Yahweh shall dwell in safety by him, shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Yosef, he said, blessed of Yahweh, his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, precious fruits brought forth by the sun. And brought forth, you see, is something that was added in there. And for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come up upon the head of Yosef and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. And with them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the tens of thousands of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer the sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. You see the poeticness in that verse? And of Gad, he said, blessed. So when we go back to 33:14, he is not necessarily saying that the fruits are brought forth by the sun, right? Get it in Hebrew again. Because look at this. All right. So when you look at that word, what is the word that we learned that means fruit?
The word of word peri.
Peri, right? But that word in Hebrew is tabua, 8393, right? And it says it's coming from Hebrew 9:35. Income. Why did they translate that to mean fruit? Why would they translate that to being fruit? Well, what is the fruit of your labor? You work hard while the sun is out. Toil. Oh, ye, ho, ho, ho. Whatever you do, you're going to toil. Who? Now in modern times, and of course you have the night watchman, right? And he does toil to a certain degree. But when you think about the toil that's done under the sun, when you think about taking care of livestock, building a house, planting a garden, do we do that at night? No, we do not do that at night. We do that during the heat of the sun. So anybody who looks at this verse and doesn't dig any further, of course you will look at fruit and say, oh, hold up. He talking about photosynthesis, brother. You don't know what you're talking about.
But can't deny that today plants
need the sun. Oh, yes. I'm not saying that it doesn't. Okay, I'm not saying that it doesn't need the sun. Yes, the sun was given for a particular purpose or whatever. But let's say, you know, they had a period, I believe it was a volcano. I don't know if anybody else learned about this in history. A huge volcano had erupted. Right, and it spewed so much volcanic ash into the atmosphere that they called that, I believe, the year without summer. Well, you Google it, right? And there was a period where this volcano erupted. I think it was might have been Mount Krakatoa. No, it's a literal volcano, Mount Krakatoa, right? And it blocked out the sun. It lowered temperatures and all this type of stuff, and it did have an effect upon the vegetation. But vegetation still grew, maybe not in the same levels as it would with the heat of the sun and with the full power of the sun, but vegetation didn't stop growing. It didn't wipe out plant life on the earth. It didn't. Why? Because plant life on the earth doesn't solely exist because of the cycle of the sun or because of the heat of the sun or even because of the power of the sun. It exists because the word of Yahweh says to exist. So even though he may have placed these things in place to provide a particular time in which they come forth, they get strong, they bud, they get strong, then after they get strong, they start to taper off. Even why he created his feast days surrounding that those times. Right. Why? Because at the beginning of his feast day is when? The Abib season, right? When things are being brought forth to light, they're coming out of the bud. But at the same time, we're performing a sacrifice, and as a result of this sacrifice, people were able to live. Does it make sense?
No, I agree.
Do you see a correlation there? Mm-hmm. So I'm not totally saying that there are processes that do not take place, but when you look at modern science will tell you that plants solely exist because of sunlight. And plant and their life is totally sustained by sunlight, just like what ancient man thinks. Their whole rituals go around that cycle, right? We have the beginning, which is Easter, and during Easter, you know, they're all happy because, you know, Sol Invictus, you know, the powerful sun that is victorious over all things is coming, and now as it's coming and it's becoming stronger. Hey y'all, let's celebrate because it's bringing forth life to the earth. Then as it starts to wane, we get sad because now that thing that we look to giving that power to life towards the earth is now taking, is going away. So now it's taking that life essence with it. But yes, he set it up there and it said for signs, for seasons, for days and for years. And they do go through their cycle based on the fact that his word said to go through that cycle. When you see the sun in a particular part, where you see the sun strong, it's going to exist as a result of that. But don't forget the fact that his word said to exist before the sun, the moon, and stars were created. That's his word, you know. But we can go with what the scientists say about photosynthesis and all that sort of stuff and all of that, but at the end of the day, his word proves that
It ain't based on photosynthesis. It's based on his word. So, and back to, we don't want to lose sight of what 33:14 is saying, because when I saw that, I was like, oh, snap. Yahweh, I'm deceived. Mm-hmm. When you dig into 33:14, he is not talking about literal fruit based on the sun and its power. He is talking about the fruits of your labor take place during the daytime.
And that's the cosign of what your plant life grows throughout the year. You know, there's some plants who thrive during the time for the cooler, opposed to when it's warm, or something that we actually learned fairly recently. So there's some things that do exist without that. I believe that they exist to show that it's not a necessity. But then the other question that you, or the other point that you were making as far as the sweet things and how even our festivals basically occur during the agricultural time. They start in the spring and they end in the fall. And there's nothing that we do in the winter time. So that's like a time which, you know, it's like dead.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But when you think about it, in my backyard, in the wintertime, there's still green grass out there. I ain't got to cut it. There's a lot of brown grass, but it's the dead of winter. And sometimes snow covered it for weeks at a time. But once the snow melted, some of that grass was still green. Now, granted, it doesn't grow with the strength that it normally grows. I ain't got to go out there. Well, I ain't got a lawnmower, but Mr. Mac don't have to go out there and cut it every couple of weeks like you do. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't grow. It doesn't mean now. And you think about it. My favorite fruit is the apple. I love the apple, good old crunchy, juicy apple, more than any other fruit, more than grapes, more than oranges, more than strawberries, more than blueberries. I like apple regular, right? And I honestly feel when I'm on my apple regimen that my body seems to be a little bit more, a little bit more energized, right? And then you find out from what we learned in the past, you know, helps keep your body a little alkaline, helps cleanse your liver out, and it helps keeps your pipes going, right? Now, whenever I go to the market, I go through and I look for apples, but I noticed the last couple of weeks ain't been a lot of apples. Not apple season, right? Now, guess what? Apples in our part of the world only are coming to fruit. And I talked to a farmer about this. This isn't something I just came up with, right? Because we go to the farm. There's a farmer's market that comes every week, Tuesdays at the hospital from May to November. And the man said, you know, they have apples that do come out, but these are sour, like baking type of apples. These aren't the apples that you want to consume because they're nasty. But now when it's time for those sweet apples to come out, that's usually around late September, October through November. That is their season. Like, for instance, cherries. I love cherries. Cherries have a very short cycle where we are. They come up early, and they come up literally for about 2 or 3 weeks. And if you want cherries, you're done after that. But they can import them from the southern hemisphere, which is on a different cycle than us. They're on the opposite cycle. But now we're in a tricky part. Guess what? Apples aren't really out there. You know why? Because in the southern hemisphere, they're coming out of a particular season. And the northern hemisphere, so there's that gap in between that where you're not going to find a whole lot of good apples out there now. Try it. Look, you won't find a whole lot of good apples. Not in the abundance that we're going to see. In a couple of months, you're going to see Gala. You're going to see Fuji. You're going to see Golden Delicious. You're going to see Red Delicious. You're going to see Granny Smith. You're going to see all kinds of apples coming out because that's the season in which Yahweh said, y'all bloom. But guess what? Hold up. The sun at that point is waning. So is it based on the word of Yahweh or is it based on the strength of the sun? It begs the question, right? Because that is something, apples, edible apples, only come into season towards the latter part of the year as we go into the, that's why they even associated with some of the pagan rituals. Pumpkins. When do pumpkins grow? But the sun is already leaving. So he's imbued within certain plants. You might need a little bit more sunlight. You might need a little bit more strength. And imbued in certain plants, you might need not need as much strength. You have what's called hardy greens, and you have, you know, green tomatoes. You plant the tomato seed, I believe, maybe around May, right, is when you should plant your tomato seed. But you don't really get those full ripe tomatoes until about right now when it starts to really get hot. You get your tomatoes and cucumbers or whatever. Each plant is on a different cycle based on the fact that Yahweh's word said, I'm going to give the sun for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years.
Now, question.
Mm-hmm.
We also just look at the appointed time as the feasting. But now, so we also look at the appointed time that this time is appointed for this syndrome, and this time is appointed for this syndrome, and this time.
Thank you for summing it up again.
Time, whatever it is that he has set in this world,
mm-hmm.
their appointment. Because
mm-hmm.
when you look at it, everything starts at a certain time,
mm-hmm.
which we understand is a bee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's just like that time keeps everything on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you bringing this out. What happens to me when I hear this? If we understand that the sun will start, it just points to this. Then how can we ever look to a green ear to determine when the year?
We're not supposed to.
How can we ever do that when he specifically said the sun, moon, and stars is for that?
Yes. Green ears have, and thank you for bringing up that point, because other than Abib and Yom HaBikurim, what vegetation is ever associated with the Feast of Yahweh? You have the counting of the Omer, which is the wheat, right? But beyond that, what other fruit or vegetable is associated with the Feast of Yahweh? But towards Thanksgiving, what do you see? The cornucopia, right? And the cornucopia has a whole bunch of fruits and stuff that's in it, right? Around Halloween, what do you see? You go bobbing for apples. You get the pumpkin. You carve your pumpkin and all that type of stuff. Pesach, what are you supposed to do? Kill an animal. Shavuot, what are you supposed to do? Wait, Yom HaBikurim, yes. What do? First fruits, what do? You present the first fruits of the harvest, right? But beyond that, Shavuot, what do? You bring the two loaves of bread. You count the Omer, you count the 50 weeks, you count the sheaves, then you present the two loaves of bread, and you do what? Shavuot.
Shavuot. Oh,
yeah, right? Right. I'm coming there. Because we want it. We craving that Sukkot. It's on my mind every day, right? So for Shavuot, you bring the two loaves of bread, but what else are you supposed to do? Okay. All right. Then you fast forward to Yom HaTeruah. What do? You blow the shofar. You come to Yom Kippur. What do? You don't eat no fruits. You don't eat no vegetables. You ain't eat no meat. Like you say, even cocoa fasting that day, right? Right? Then you come to Shavuot. What do? The end gathering, right? Okay. So we're beyond Yom HaBikurim, beyond first fruits, no vegetation, and Shavuot, no vegetation. And even with that, no vegetation.
But not a direct connection.
Exactly. There's no direct, because he never wanted that to be connected with any of his feast days. Mm-hmm. But when you think about what pagan feasts take place in the beginning, right? What do you have surrounded that sort of stuff, right? You look toward even with Easter. It may not be edible food, but it's the lily. Hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
He did.
You know, but one of the things, you know, he wants us to understand and work within the cycle, but he doesn't want us to lose focus that the cycle is based upon his word. You know? So, Good. So is everybody good with 33:14?
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay. So we know that is not, because like I said, you know, I did a search on the sun and looked at that verse and was, oh, snap. I was like, time to erase everything you done wrote down. All right, so let's go back now to okay, so Genesis 1:17. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Yah and Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning, they were the fourth day. Right? So next week, we'll go into what takes place on the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day. So any questions? Yeah, Aki.
I was thinking about plants that don't grow without sunlight. Now, I know some grow without sunlight, located in the heat, underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't moss grow on the opposite side of the sun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it doesn't really get sunlight, because it just grows with the shade of a tree, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a real abundant plant.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that on most of any.
And guess what? You are taught to use moss as a direction,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I believe the moss only grows on the north side, and that's because that's the side that usually gets, because they tell you even when you plant your garden that you should have it so that it goes from, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't really planted my garden in the last couple of years, but I believe when when they said it, you should have it so that it's going on an east to west track, right? But if I'm wrong, what is it? Oh, yeah, but it's supposed to be on that track so that it can get the heat that it needs from and the direct sunlight that it needs. But again, let's not forget that it doesn't exist solely because they work in conjunction. They don't exist solely because there is light or there is the absence of light. Again, you know, ferns grow, and you cannot put ferns. I remember I had a plant, and I was at Adelphi University, and somebody threw out the plant. And I was like, well, Dad, why would somebody throw out this plant? It was just a little itty-bitty plant. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to see what I could do with this plant. Because it wasn't dead. They just threw it in the garbage. And so I picked up the plant and, you know, had it in my room, and it grew. And it was a pretty, pretty, pretty plant. It grew up. And I brought it home when I went home at the end of the semester. My father, he had his little garden and fancied himself to have a green thumb, took my precious plant that I took from out the garbage, brought back to life, and was able to repot it and put in a big plant. It really grew real nice. He puts it outside in direct sunlight. That plant blistered. It blistered and died. And I was so hurt behind that, because I really put some effort into bringing that plant back to life and got it to really bloom and all that type of stuff. But as part of my experience, every plant can't be out in that direct sunlight, you know, because it hurt it. It literally, like how people get, you know, those big blisters, it had big blisters all over its leaves, and it that poor thing just died. And I brought it back in the house. I'm like, Pop, what you doing? He's like, oh, son, I thought it needed some sunlight. I'm like, well, Dad, you can see it didn't need that sunlight. The leaves, after the blisters went away, the leaves turned brown, and that poor thing just never recovered. You know, thank you, Pop. You know, not that much heat, and it was the heat that hurt it. Just like, you know, you go out and get sunburned, saying the plant got sunburned. You know. So, any other comments? Questions, Sister Bethia? And see, and I'm glad you brought up that point, because who's ever eaten have you ever eaten a miniola? You know what a miniola is? It's a mixture between, I believe, a grapefruit and some type of orange, and it's really nice and juicy. It's really fleshy. It's got real thick flesh, and the thing on the inside, the actual part that you can eat is only about this big. It might be this big, but once you pull the thing off, it's like this. But it's a hybrid. Yeah, it's a hybrid. It's a mix. So now you think, you know, you go to and a lot of apples are hybrid, you know, and they may mix certain species for what, like for instance, the strawberries that we get in the store, those big old fat juicy strawberries. Do you know that those are genetically modified strawberries? You ever grow strawberries in your yard? Very, very tiny. And I was talking to somebody from England, my vice president's from Great Britain. We were just sitting around after a meeting and we were talking, and he was sharing with me about, and I think I was eating an apple in the meeting. He was like, oh, wow, that's an awfully big apple. And I was like, yeah, it's big and juicy. Tastes good, too. And he was like, you know how big apples are in Great Britain? And I was like, no, never been to Great Britain. He was like, the apples in Great Britain are only about that big. You know, because they don't do in Europe a lot of the genetic modification that we do over here. And even when you go to the farmer's market, at the farmer's market, I'm going to tell you, if you want something that's really good, and this was what I call the Big Mac of apples. And I forgot what type of apple it was that he said it was. And it wasn't a hybrid apple, but it was big and juicy and just it. It's so funny because the apples, when certain fruits, when they're made, do you just let Yahweh do his work with them? They taste like candy. They get it's so funny. You get the Jolly Rancher essence, right? You get the strawberry essence and all of that type of stuff, but you say to yourself, well, it doesn't taste like the strawberries I get in the store. You know, the strawberries I get in the store actually. But the year that I did grow a strawberry bush and it yielded strawberries, that boy tasted like strawberry marinade. It did. It tasted like strawberry. That little itty bitty strawberry was packed with so much flavor and juice. It was like the best tasting strawberry I ever had. Unfortunately, the poor thing died. Couldn't get it to yield again, you know, after that year. But the same thing, you know, with the apples. When they're in season, you go to that farmer's market and you get them, and you know, you kind of detach yourself from giant. Man, those things are so good and so juicy. You know, but when they're not being genetically modified, and when they're not being tampered with by these scientists, and scientists can tamper with them, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact that his word has imbued within it to bring forth seed after its kind. And scientists can find a way to manipulate things, because that's what they do, and bring about a hybrid type of fruit. But the essence of what Yahweh created it to do, you can't detract from that. Because some things, like for instance, you take a mule, you take what is a horse and a donkey, and you make a mule. Well, what the mule is an infertile animal. If I got that right, it's a horse and a donkey makes a mule, right? Well, it might be a horse and a mule make a donkey, I'm not sure. But anyway, they're two distinct species, and you can make them mate. But guess what? Because now you've done, you didn't tamper with the essence of what Yahweh made it for, guess what? It's infertile. Just like the liger. You can take a lion and tiger and put them together, but you will get one liger. You will get that one, and it's a humongous creature, but guess what will happen? That's the only one you'll be able to create, because they're not fertile, and they're not able to produce after it's gone, because it's not a kind. Thank you. It's not a kind, right? So there's kinds of apple, there's kinds of animals. Whatever, we didn't get into the animals, you know, today. We'll get into the animals next Shabbat. But the fruit yielding herbs and things and all that stuff after its kind. So, anything else? Shalom. Hallelujah. And Kol Shabbat, family. Kol Kol. Y'all knew what I meant. Cocoon. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. No one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Deuel, would you mind closing us out?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.